सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। ॐ समस्त जन कल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति देव्यैः स्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदैः उपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं साम्बगावः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणः। देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम्। सो वी आर इन द 18th चैप्टर। वी हैव डन 29 श्लोकास सो फार। And Arjuna asked about Tyaga and Sannyasa. And Bhagavan says Tyaga is giving up the desire prompted actions, and Sannyasa is giving up the doership. And then he talked about Sattvic, Rajasic, and Tamasic Jnanam, Karma, and Karta. And we had studied Sattvic, Rajasic, and Tamasic Karta last week. But the Sattvic Karta is the one who is enthusiastic, who does the right thing according to the scriptures, without likes and dislikes, and with his goal clearly in mind. And the Rajasic is the one who can deviate from the right when his goal is selfish, and can become violent, can become greedy when his purpose is not served, and he can do that. And the Tamasic we had seen last week is the one who is very rigid, who has a wrong understanding, but will not deviate even when the scriptures are told to him. He's lazy, he's a procrastinator, and Dirghasutri, as Bhagwan calls him. And so that is not what we should be. And then we had talked about, introduced the subject of buddhi. So what is the difference between jnanam and buddhi? Jnanam is the right knowledge. And it can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. And buddhi is how I implement that knowledge. How do I carry it out? So it can happen in the house. Husband and wife get married. And in the early period, honeymoon period, everything is fine. And they say, you know, we should live in peace and harmony, bring up our children this way and that way. And he says, no, this way. And she says, no, that way. So it starts. And so even though their purpose is to live in harmony, but it does not always happen. So that is the knowledge that we should live in harmony. And then how to implement that, that comes through practice, through study. Or it can happen at the national level where they have a particular goal. The government says, you know, we will remove poverty, we will remove ignorance, we will educate more people, develop. But then the implementation of that becomes a problem because the parties don't agree, you know, the conflicts happen, situations. So jnanam is one and buddhi is the second. So today we will study about sattvic, rajasic and tamasic buddhi. So one is vision, that is jnanam, and implementation is buddhi. So we'll start with chapter 18, shloka number 30. Pravrittin cha nivrittin cha karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham mokshan chaya veti buddhi sa partha sattviki. Together. Pravrittin cha nivrittin cha karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham mokshan cha yaveti buddhi sa partha sattviki. So what is sattvic buddhi? What is sattvic understanding? And how does a sattvic person work in the world? Very, very beautiful shloka. Very nicely, Bhagwan, his very precise words, he has explained everything. So he says, pravritti cha nivritti cha, pravrittim cha nivrittim cha. So pravrittim means what I should do, and nivritti means how should I withdraw from action? How should I work? How should I withdraw? Then it says karya akarya. So karya is what should be done. Akarya is what should not be done. So in the first one, he says how to work and how to withdraw. In the second, he says what to do, what not to do. And he knows, this wise person knows. And bandham and moksham, what is binding me and how can I be free from the bondage? Cha yaveti. So that buddhi which knows this, pravritti, nivritti, what I went to work, went to withdraw, what to do, what not to do, and how to get free from this bondage, the wisdom that knows it, that is sattvic. So the Gurudev in his commentary says that the most important factor in this, what the intellect does, intellect of course knows everything, I study everything, the eyes give me the impression and then it goes to my mind and then the mind gives it to my intellect to judge. But the most important factor is discrimination. That means to distinguish between what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is temporary, what is permanent, what is my goal, what is not my goal, all that is discrimination. And the ability to do what I have to do, but then when it is time to leave that activity, the ability to detach, not to hold on to certain things that, oh, this I alone can do it, nobody else can do it. Because ultimately, detachment or sannyas, they say, don't use the word sannyas, it's very scary. You know, I don't want sannyas, I want to work. Sannyas here does not mean putting on orange clothes and going to the forest. What it means is the ability to detach, the ability to give up what is not important in my purpose, what is not important in the right way. If I have taken up something wrong, wrong habits, wrong tendencies, the ability to give them up, to detach, because ultimately everything we have to give up. If not now, at the time of death, I have to give up all my near and dear ones, my wealth, my 401k, my all my stocks, house, oh, my house. Nothing is ours. Everything you have to leave. So start detaching from now itself. Otherwise, death becomes very painful. Oh, how will I leave? No, my goal is different. Yes. I love these people, but don't get too attached to people or things. It's like if you're living in a rental house, do you say it is my house? No. If I have a 3-year lease, at the end of the 3 years, the landlord can say leave or he can renew my lease. Same way Bhagwan has given us the lease. This much time you have. When the lease is over, I'm ready to go. There is no attachment even to this body, because this body is also like my house. I live in this house, and when it's time to leave, I just walk away. And same with these objects, they don't belong to me. They were given to me by Bhagawan, and when it is time to leave, I leave them, whether it's my children, my spouse, my car, my dog. People are so attached to that. They say, everything else I can leave, I can't leave my dog. So I know the grandparents who have children with dogs are all laughing. That is the latest. Anyway, so the ability to leave what is not temporary and hold on to the permanent, hold on to Bhagwan, because that alone is permanent. And do the right action, karya akarya. So doing what is supposed to be done and avoiding what is not supposed to be done. I heard a very beautiful story, very inspiring for me. So I'll share it with you. So there was this young man who was a freshman. You know, he had just finished his freshman year in college. And in India, they get 3 months vacation. Here also, the summer, they have 3 months off. So he told his parents, I'd like to travel through the villages of, you know, Tamil Nadu in South India. So they said, go ahead. He was off, so they gave him some money. And so he went. He went to one or two villages. And the third village he went, the people were extremely poor. There was not even a school in that village. Very small village, just farmers. And people were all uneducated. They could talk. Or they knew the language, but they couldn't read. They couldn't write. They couldn't even do math, calculate, nothing. There was no school, no teacher. So they were very happy to see him. They said, oh, you go to college? He says, yeah. He says, can you stay here and teach us? He says, but I only have 3 months. So it doesn't matter. We want to just learn simple reading so we can read the scriptures, a little bit writing so we can write letters to our kids and grandkids who have gone. And little math so we can calculate, because we are farmers. And when we go to sell our produce, we want to be sure we are getting a good price. And you can stay, you know, one of the houses was little better, was the panchayat head. So they said, you can stay in his house and we'll bring you the food. We can't pay you. We are very poor, but every day we'll bring you food. So he said, you know, but I need a room. I need a school. So they said, we'll make the room, no problem. So he thought, ek mahina lagega, it will be 1 month. Out of 3 months, 1 month will be gone. They said, no, 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 not 1 month, you watch. So that night, after they all finished work, every man in the village gathered. And some young boys, you know, who were healthy and strong. And so they came, and overnight, you know, everybody brought, somebody brought mud, somebody brought bricks, somebody brought the roof, leaves on top. And they overnight, they worked from night till early morning, and they had made a small room with mud. He said one day, he was amazed, one night. And then next morning, they all go to work. So they go to work at 6 in the morning and work all day in the hot sun. They are farmers. They come home in the evening. They take a shower, have dinner, spend a little time with their family. 8 o'clock at night, they were ready to study. And so this young man starts teaching, and he gets so much involved, and they get so involved. Sometime 11 o'clock, sometime even up to midnight, you know, they are studying, and they have so much desire to learn. And this man is teaching. And then when they go home in next evening, out of the family, only one person can come because the others are busy. Then the one who has come, whether it's husband, wife, or child, he shares with the others in the family what they have learned. And they all have, you know, make little notes. And so he slowly teaches them to read, write. They have a makeshift blackboard they make with chalk. And so he teaches. And every day they bring him bananas or coconuts or fruit or whatever they grow in their garden, in their trees. Every day he has a variety of foods, and they just. And at the end of 3 months, all of them could read a little, could write, could do some math. And he said that tears came to my eyes, that this was the most, what shall we say, most fulfilling summer of my life. I had spent so many summers, but that's when I understood that it is in giving that you receive. He didn't get any payment, but he said, what I got was no money on earth can buy that. So that is sattvic, not only his, but all of the students, how with in dedication in 3 months they picked up, even though they were working all day. And so that is sattvic buddhi, and that is sattvic dhriti. We'll talk about sattvic dhriti today. But the point is that the ability to stick firm and to do the right thing, karya akarya. So that is the message I got from this story. And why is this person so sattvic? Why? Because his goal is very clear. See, there are two kinds of goals. One is the worldly goal, how I can make myself better and make the place around me better. How can I serve the community? How can I do good for others? How can I be a role model, you know, for others, for my children and grandchildren and so on, and to the community? So that is the worldly goal. And then the second is the secular goal. Second is the spiritual goal, that is my highest goal, that God is my highest goal. And Bhagwan, and for that, whatever I need to do, I will do. And it starts with, can put the lights on. Yeah, it starts with the right goal and then applying that in my life and doing Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. We have talked about before, listening to the scriptures, contemplating upon them, and then acting upon it. So because this Bhagavad Gita is not only for Arjuna, as we have said, it is for me. The scriptures are for me. So applying that. And that is how you carry out the goal. You abide in that understanding and then pursue it, which is Nididhyasana. So listening, Shravana, Manana, contemplating, and then carrying it out. That is the three. And what he says is, Karya akarya we have talked about, pravritti nivritti we have talked about, and bandha moksham. And bhaya bhaye. Yeah, we talked about that. What is to be feared and what is not to be feared. So pravritti, nivritti, karya, akarya, bhaya, abhaya. So bhaya and abhaya is that when I am doing wrong activities, I should be fearful that I am doing something wrong. It will have an adverse effect on me, on my surroundings, and ultimately accumulate wrong karma. So have fear in doing sinful activities. And when I'm doing the right thing, fearless. No matter how many obstacles come, all these great leaders, we see Gandhiji, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, how many problems they had, but fearlessness. Why? Because my goal is good. My actions are good. My purpose is good. And that is bhaya abhaya. And then what is bandha and moksha? There are some things which are very high maintenance. I bought a big house and I find it is a high maintenance and now I don't need it. Kids are gone. So move to a smaller house or anything high maintenance, some job, it requires too much work. Now I have to cut down. Why? Because I want to spend time. So things that are high maintenance, give them up. Like some people love gardening. Now that's very good. But then you extend it where it goes on and too many flowers and too many things. And you have taken up so many projects. Or some people cannot say no. They will take up this project, that project. This. So that is binding. Even though you may be doing service, but maybe you are involved in 3-4 things and unnecessarily. So slowly cutting down on what is unnecessary and anything that is an obstacle in my spiritual growth should be cut down. And even those activities that are done, they do them as service of God, as service to Bhagwan, that is God's work. So high maintenance items should be dropped and things that are unnecessary should be dropped. And then the last point is unity. One, that sattvic is one who sees, as we said, avibhaktam vibhakteshu, sees one God in all, oneself. That is sattvic buddhi. Beautifully, Bhagwan has covered these points. Then we'll go to shloka number 31. Yaya dharma madharmancha. Karyam cha karyam eva cha. Ayathavat prajanati. Buddhi sa partha rajasi. Yaya dharma madharmancha. Karyam cha karyam eva cha ayathavat prajanati buddhi sa partha rajasi. So we have talked about sattvic buddhi. Now we'll talk about rajasic. So sattvic is the highest, rajasic is in between, and tamasic is the lowest. So what is rajasic buddhi? Buddhi sa partha rajasi, he says in the fourth quarter, Bhagavan says that buddhi, O Arjuna, sa partha, Arjuna is one of Arjuna's name, because he was Pritha's son, his mother Kunti was called Pritha also. So he says, O partha, that buddhi is rajasi, which is what? Yaya, by which? Dharmam, adharmam cha. What is dharmam and what is adharma? What is dharma and what is adharma? He does not know. And cha karyam cha akaryam eva cha. The first one knew, sattvic knew karya akarya, but this rajasic person does not know. Karyam cha akaryam eva. He does not know what is to be done, what is not to be done. What is dharma, what is adharma? We'll talk about dharma. But what is dharma means? What is duty, what is right, what is in the scriptures, and what is the highest, that is called dharma. And how does he not know it? Ayathavat. Ayatha. Yatha means just as it should be. A means not. So he does not do what should be done or how it should be known. How should dharma and adharma be known? Karya, akarya should be known. Na jan, ayathavat prajanati. He knows it wrong way. Prajanati, he knows, but he knows it not as it is. That is called rajasi. So, as we said, right and wrong. You know, even though he knows it, it's not that he does not know. He has heard the scriptures. Maybe his parents have told him. But he does not practice what he has. Or if he does, he has always doubts. Are you sure about it? Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. Are you? No, no, I'm not that sure what I should do, what I should not do, what is right, what is wrong. Or even when he knows, he starts doing right, but then something happens where his own personal selfishness, his personal greed comes in, his personal success, his goal, you know, that is what I want. So he's always in doubt. Yes, he knows, his intellect knows this is what I should do, but his mind and his body does not cooperate. So that is ayathavat. He does not know as it is. So he does the wrong things out of ignorance, out of doubt, out of not clear understanding. You know, he has understanding, but it is doubtful. And because of that, he will do wrong actions. So this reminds me of a story. So there was this couple who lived in the two-story house, so ground floor and then up, and there was a balcony. So the husband is in the balcony and he tells his wife is downstairs, honey, the blanket fell down. So she says, blanket fell down, but our son is sleeping on the balcony. I hope he's not cold. He said, oh, no, no, he's not cold. He's still in the blanket. That is ayatha. I told this to my granddaughter. She said, he dropped the kid. So that is wrong understanding. Yeah, he's not warm, but where? So his understanding is not correct. Ayathavat prajanati. He knows it, but he is not able to practice it. What he knows, he is not able to practice it. And do's and don'ts, he doesn't know. I mean, he knows, but he doesn't practice it. This is I should do, this I should not do. He will not karya akarya. And it is written in the scriptures. He has heard it, understood it. Or he or she, obviously, but does not able to practice it. Why? Because of prayas. You know, in Kathopanishad, it says shreyas and prayas. We have talked. Shreyas means what is good for me and good for society. That is sattvic. Prayas is what is good for me, what I want. That is good. So his life is all lived in the basis of prayas. This is what I like. This is what I want. This is what I do. And people ask, you know, is Bhagavad Gita still relevant? I know 5,000 years ago, somebody told somebody, Bhagavan Krishna might have told Arjuna, but I think in aajkal ke zamane mein computers and all, and we have gone to space. Ooh, where is Bhagavad Gita relevant? See, even though it was told more than 5,000 years ago, the human mind is still the same. We might have built computers and gone into space and other, you know, planets and everything, but our mind is the same. And what Bhagavan is talking is to our mind. That's what he did. He spoke to Arjuna's mind. He did not change the situation, you know. He could have, with one hand, just finished the entire Kaurava army and made the Pandavas success. He didn't want to do that. He wanted Arjuna to know why, what is his duty, why should he do it. So as long as the human mind remains the same, Gita will always remain relevant. Whether it's 5,000 years from now, however long humans live, Gita will be always relevant. It will never go out of style. Same thing with all the scriptures, whether it's Buddhism or Christianity, all the masters, what they have told will remain relevant throughout life. We'll go to shloka number 32, which is tamasic. Adharmam dharmamitiya manyate tamasavrita sarvarthan viparitanscha buddhisa partha tamasi adharmam dharmamitiya manyate tamasavrita sarvarthan viparitanscha buddhisa partha tamasi. So, O Arjuna, that buddhi is tamasi. Buddhi sa partha tamasi is what? Adharmam dharmam iti ya manyate. So he thinks the wrong thing to be right. See, in the rajasic, he knows what is wrong and what is right, and he cannot do the right sometimes because of confusion. But this guy does not even know, and he thinks adharma is dharma. Wrong things are the right thing to do. So he has a complete ulta, viparit, we'll talk about, completely ulta understanding of what is right, what is wrong. One is knowing and not doing it. He doesn't even know. He thinks wrong alone is right. And manyate, he considers that very strongly. Manyate means his mind is convinced. Why? Because his mind is tamasa avrita. It is covered by tamas, by darkness, by ignorance. His understanding is completely veiled. Complete veiling of his intellect is there. And sarvarthan, and with wrong goal, wrong purpose in life, and viparitamscha, and viparit, his whole thinking is inverted, ulta, what they call ulti kopri. His thinking is perverted, wrong. Buddhi sa partha tamasi. So, what the teaching of that is that his understanding is that this is my understanding. This is how I have understood, and no matter what you tell him, he will not change. He's very fanatical in his beliefs. See, one is sattvic. You know, you have the right understanding and you hold on to that. That is good. That is my understanding, and I will. But to have a wrong understanding, to hold on to it, no matter how much you tell him, that is tamasic. You know, even though somebody is telling you, you are not willing to let it go, not willing to compromise, not stabdha. Last week we had talked about, he's rigid like a stick, stabdha. And always thinking the wrong thing, opposite, and getting involved where he doesn't need to get involved. Why? Because he has a wrong understanding. Best example is, you know, if you're walking in Bombay or some big city, and if two people are fighting, you know, you will find it within 30 seconds, there will be 50 people, 100 people. Are these guys are fighting? Are kya ho raha hai? Let's go see. You know, everybody unnecessarily, he will poke his nose. What is happening? Why they are fighting? And then somebody will throw a stone, and then this guy will get hurt. You know, you should have walked away. Why unnecessarily getting involved and getting into trouble where you are not supposed to? That is tamasic. You know, if somebody is fighting, if you can help, you do it. Better is just walk away. Why you want to get? I remember we were teenagers. I know that's not very good, but we must have been 13, 14, and we used to walk. And when a car accident also happens, you know, immediately 50, 100 people gather. So I know that's wrong, but we used to say, "Arey kya hua?" Says, "Accident ho gaya." What happened? He said, "There's an accident." Kitna aadmi mara? You know, how many people died? We used to ask. So he said, "Koi nahi mara." He said, "Nobody died." अरे व्हाट एक्सीडेंट, कोई भी नहीं मरा, क्या फायदा. एंड वी यूज्ड टू वॉक. आई नो दैट्स टेरिबल, बट एज टीनेजर्स यू नो यू डू ऑल दिस फूलिश थिंग्स. सो दैट इज तामसिक, वेयर यू आर गोइंग जस्ट टू हैव फन. अरे कोई यू नो. सो द पॉइंट इज दैट गेटिंग इन्वॉल्व वेयर यू आर नॉट सपोज टू बी इन्वॉल्व एंड थिंकिंग द रॉन्ग थिंग, हैविंग रॉन्ग अंडरस्टैंडिंग, विपरीत वॉट इज राइट, not even knowing it. So forget about knowing the right thing. He knows the wrong thing and he does the wrong thing. So that is, and no shastras, no scriptures. The sattvic person knows the scriptures, understands the scriptures, totally follows the scriptures, goes to the guru and learns, you know, reads and applies that in his life. After having understood, so clear understanding of the scriptures, clear contemplation and clear application. The rajasic person knows the scriptures, tries to apply them, but he can't, or out of greed, selfishness, he is not able to apply the scriptures, but he at least knows what he is doing is wrong. And he knows that the consequences are not good. The sattvic person is very clear because he's totally fearless. When I have done the right thing, what do I have to be afraid of? You know, when I have done my taxes correctly, let anybody come and audit. When I have kept my books properly, when I have done things correctly, I'm totally fearless. But if I have not done things correctly, then I have to lie, I have to cheat, I have to, you know, hide things from others. But the tamasic person does not even know the shastras, does not care to know the good things. He never, but he has a fixed understanding which he has accumulated with his own underthinking, with his own understanding, with a viparit understanding. And then he does what he thinks is right. And in the process, he hurts himself and he hurts others. You know, we see that the fanatics, you know, how they create so much havoc in the world. So that is tamasic, creating problems in the world where they are not required because of wrong understanding. And why do they do that? Because they have deep indwelling vasanas of many, many lifetimes. And the vasanas have become so strong, these negative vasanas, that even if they want, they cannot get out. Like Dhritarashtra, you know, he says that in one place in the Mahabharata. He says, I know what is right, but I cannot do it. And I know what is wrong, but I cannot avoid it. He says, I know what is pravritti, I know, but I cannot practice it. And what is wrong also, I know. It was not that he was ignorant. Bhishma Pitama made sure that all the Pandavas and Kauravas learned from great Mahatmas and wonderful teachers were hired. And any Mahatma passing by through that town, through, you know, Hastinapur was asked to respectfully stay and as long as they could. So the Pandavas and the Kauravas all got the right teaching. So it's not that Duryodhana did not know what he's doing is wrong, but he said, I am not able to practice it. So that is rajasic and tamasic. And so the vasanas are so strong. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the 16th chapter, he had said that knowledge cannot help these people. No matter how much you tell them, they will not listen. Then what will cure them? Only the laws of fate. Because they have done so many wrong karmas that this life they will suffer, next life they will suffer. And then they'll say, why am I suffering? Why are there so many problems? How will I get out of them? So when that problem suffering comes, then they say, "Are, maybe there is a way out." And that's when they go to a teacher and they sit down and say, please relieve me of my suffering, Mahatmaji. How can I get out? So only the blows of fate, Bhagavan says. And it's not that I give them suffering. It is their own karmas that are coming. So there is nobody sitting up there and throwing packets of sorrow at me. You know, not somebody sitting in Vaikuntha or Kailash. It is my own karmas. This is within our vasanas, within our subtle body, this in the mind and intellect, these karmas get stored and get carried. Majority of the karmas, I get the results in this life. If not, they get carried into next life. And then people say, why am I suffering? Why is God sending this suffering to me? Nobody is suffering. It is our own karmas that are coming back. So these people have so many vasanas, so much, tendencies that only some people can get out through knowledge, a rajasic person, but a tamasic person will not get out, will have to suffer the results. So that is tamasic vritti and that is tamasic buddhi. Now, Bhagwan addresses one more topic, which we will start today, which is called dhriti. Dhriti, actually, there is no good English word to translate it, but the best closest one is fortitude, which means to hold on, dhari from dhra. Dhri, dhri is the root dharana. To hold on to something is called dhriti. And I hold on with complete conviction, complete force. And dhriti can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic, as everything in Bhagwan, throughout the Bhagavad Gita from 14th chapter, he has been talking to us about sattva, rajas, and tamas. So what is sattvic dhriti, rajasic dhriti, and tamasic dhriti? Dhri means to hold. So that which I hold on with my full force. And what happens? Say I have decided I'm going to do a good things. I'm going to be a good person from now on. And some obstacle comes in the path. And I give up my goal. And from sattva, I go down to tamas. So that is when I'm not able to hold on to my ideals and my goals and not stick to it, that is called lack of dhriti. So we'll address today sattvic dhriti and then rajasic and tamasic we'll do next week. So shloka number 33. Dhritya yaya dharayate. Manah pranendriya kriyaha. Yoge navyabhicharinya. Dhriti sa partha sattviki. Dhritya yaya dharayate. Manah pranendriya kriyaha. Yoge navyabhicharinya dhriti sa partha sattviki. How many said manaf? How many remembered in my chanting class? Just joking. Anyway, so when the pa comes, we have to put pha before that. So dhritya yaya dharayate. So dhritya with dhriti. This is the third case for those who are studying Sanskrit. So with dhriti yaya, with that dhriti dharayate. Dharayate means holds on, dharana, to hold on. You know, in the yoga, we have this, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, all that. So dharana means to hold on, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama. And all that, pratyahar, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So dharana means hold on, pratyahar means to leave. So here that which they hold on to, dhritya yaya dharayate, with that dhriti, yaya means with that dhriti, one who holds on. And what do they hold on to? Mana, prana, indriya, kriyaha. Mana means mind, Pranas means the five physiological organs, you know. Prana, apana, vyana, samana, udana means that the intake, the output, circulation, digestion, and the udana where it leaves the body. So these five pranas, their activity is going on, the activity of the mind is going on, and the activity of the indriyas, the sense organs and organs of action. So one who controls the activities of the prana, indriya, and the mind with dhriti, and how is that dhriti? Yogena, by yoga, by attaching, yoga means to unite, by uniting his mind always with the higher. So this person, he or she always has their mind attached to the higher. Avyabhicharinya means not oscillating, not varying, you know, one day do this, and one day I do good, and then second day I don't. That is called avyabhicharinya. So without deviating and oscillating from my goal, dhriti sa partha satviki, O Arjuna, that is satvik dhriti. So as we said, even when the mind is not completely able to abide in sattva and is going towards rajas and tamas, but the ability to hold on to satvik ideas, and even if obstacles come, I will keep on my path. Obstacles cannot deter such a person. So the ability to hold on and hold on to sattvic ideas, not hold on to tamasic ideas or wrong ideas, because some people say, I have decided and I will do it. Array, but first you have to see whether what you have decided is right or wrong. But the ability to hold on to what is given in the scriptures, what is right thing. And one criteria is, will this please my God? You know, if anything before I do, if I think, will this please my Bhagwan, then do it. And if it is not, then... So that ability to hold on to these ideas of the scriptures and the guru with shraddha, with total faith, is sattvic dhriti. And obstacles will come, problems will come. But I should not deviate from my goal, from my purpose. And living a life of alertness. So the example they give is when you turn on the computer, it will say we are scanning for viruses, scanning for any, you know, any, all the systems are working. If you have turned the computer off, when you turn it on, first thing it will do is check everything alertly, everything, and make sure everything is functioning before the computer starts working. If there is a virus and the antivirus program, or in our human body also, there are white cells and these antibodies, and they are alertly watching. You know, they will go through the blood, they are circulating. If any infection comes, immediately the white cells will be mobilized, the lymphocytes and neutrophils, and they will attack those bacteria. Or if there is a cut somewhere, then the other cells will go to heal it. You know, platelets will go to stop the bleeding. And then, you know, all the coagulation factors will immediately get mobilized to stop the bleeding and then heal it. You know, if there is a cut. So alertly, in our body, all this thing is happening. So this individual lives a life of alertness, where he is watching that, is my mana, prana, indriya, kriya? Is my mind going in the wrong direction? Very alert. That's why Gurudev says, alert living. You know, alert living and right thinking. So anytime my mind is going in the wrong direction, he will immediately bring it back. Very alert. You know, just as any negative thing is coming in the body, how my cells are alert, that's how his thinking is alert for his mind. Let me not think wrong. Then indriya, my sense organs, if some wrong things are coming, he will avoid. He will not, you know, put wrong things in his mind. Because they say, Gurudev says, garbage in, garbage out. If you put wrong knowledge in, your actions will be wrong. So being very alert as to what kind of knowledge is going in my mind, what kind of books I read, what kind of websites I go to, what kind of people I associate with, what I hear, you know, because what you hear ultimately will determine your action. So making sure the right thing only comes. And then my pranas, you know, make sure my heart is working well, my lungs, that means not doing things that will damage, you know, smoking and, you know, things like that. For the heart, again, exercise, eating right, you know, so my pranas should be healthy, my digestive system, eating again the right thing. So that is called living a life of alertness. And that is how mana prana indriya kriyaha. We make sure that all of them are working in the right way. Just as when you take your car into service, you know, 5,000 mile service or 10,000 mile service, they will check everything. And then they will give you a printout, you know, when you go to pick up your car, your oil was checked, your fluids and your transmission and your battery, how they are checking. So same way, this person is very alert and always make sure that the mind, intellect, all are working in the right way. And he sets high benchmarks for himself. He makes sure that the benchmarks are high, that I have to stay at this high level of functioning. My mind should not come down from my goal, from my ideal, from what my purpose in life is. And he is not satisfied with just thing. He says, no, my goal of this life is enlightenment. That he sets his goal high. And that goal is the only goal, actually. That is, they say, the only purpose of human birth is to reach God. Rest, everything else is secondary. So once you have that highest goal in mind, then such a person, his benchmarks are so high that he does not get. So that is what it says, yogena avyabhicharinya, means his mind is always attached to God. No matter what he is doing, he wakes up in the morning or she remembering God. The first thought that comes is Om Namah Shivaya, Shri Krishna, Sharanam Mama. Gets up with that and goes to bed with that. And throughout the day, connects with that. And God is where? Within. So just connect with the inner silence. Even when you're stopped at a traffic light, instead of complaining why the light is red, say, oh, that's good, light is red, I can remember my Lord at this moment. So spend that 30 seconds or 1 minute remembering God when you're doing dishes or something, vacuuming. It may not be very pleasant, but say, I'm cleaning this house because God lives in this house. So then every activity becomes spiritual. So take every opportunity to remember God and just connect with that silence. Even no matter if there is noise going on, instead of focusing on the noise, why is it so loud and so noisy? No, just focus on the silence where this noise is coming from. So constant attachment to the higher, to that Lord who is within me as silence, as peace. So constantly remembering God throughout the day and bringing God with me to work, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. Any chance you get, any moment you get, connect with him or connect with her as the inner silence, the inner self, the inner peace. And resolve that this is my resolve. This is what I have decided I'm going to do. And no matter how many obstacles come, no matter how many, look at the life of, you know, all the saints, Mirabai and Tukaram and Sant Gyaneshwar, Jesus, how many problems they had in life, how much opposition, how many difficulties. Puja Swami Chinmayananda, Puja Gurudev, when he started his journey in 1950, there was so much opposition from all the Brahmins at that time, that you are teaching this knowledge in English, it should be only taught in Sanskrit. You are polluting the Vedas, you know, by teaching Upanishads. And you are not even, you know, in the olden days, people used to go to a guru and have, you know, sadhan chatushtaya, vivek, vairagya. Here you are just giving. He said, Gurudev said, look, this Shruti has a way of protecting herself. The one who is deserving will get it. The one who is not deserving himself will not come second day. He said, my job is to give this knowledge freely. And that's why he gave it in English. because he said, I want the whole world to understand what is the glory of the Upanishads, of the Bhagavad Gita, of all these texts. So the resolve, because he has resolved that he could have stayed in the Himalayas with his guru and meditated and finished his life. But he said, no, I have to spread this knowledge throughout the world. And he traveled even when his body was not functioning and he had bad heart. He traveled throughout the world giving talks and setting up centers. You know, this place is there because of Pujya Gurudev, because his vision and his ideas and his the framework he had set up for our bylaws and how the mission should run, everything was decided by him. We are just following what that great master has given us. So that is called Sattvic Dhriti, that no matter what obstacles come, and throughout the world, there are many centers. There's 300 centers like this where thousands and thousands of adults and children are studying throughout the week. So that is because of one person's vision, one person's Sattvic Dhriti. And Dhriti and Dharma have the same root, Dhri. Dhri means to hold on. So Dharma means, Dharma, one meaning of course is religion, but Dharma here means that which holds society together. That which upholds society. That's why Bhagwan Sri Krishna in the 18th chapter will tell us, and everybody has heard that, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuthanam adharmasya tat admanam srijamyaham. He says, whenever dharma is on the decline and adharma is increasing, what it means is the sattvic people are getting less and tamasic and rajasic people are getting more, the wrong type of people. Then I appear. And he can do it physically as Bhagwan Shri Krishna did, or as somebody like Pujya Gurudev, because he said these Upanishads are not known to the masses. So it is my resolve that I will spread this knowledge. So it can be through knowledge, it can be through action. You know, Bhagwan Shri Krishna gave, of course, the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, but he also himself destroyed so many demons. He helped the Pandavas to destroy the Kauravas. So dharma is at the total level, dhriti is at the individual level. I as an individual should have dhriti to uphold dharma. Dharma means the whole society should be dharmic. So that's what Bhagwan Shri Krishna says, that when dharma is on the decline, when people are not practicing at the national level, then I appear. And to reestablish, and he tells Arjuna that as an individual, you have to be firm in your goal, in your actions, and practice dhriti. Dhriti means fortitude, persistence, ability to overcome obstacles, no matter how many that there will. Because the world will always throw obstacles at us. Problems will always come. Nobody's life is without problems. Problems come to everybody, but the ability to stay on my path despite obstacles is what we learn from the lives of these great Mahatmas, of these great leaders, these great people who have written the scriptures, who have given us this knowledge. So today we studied about Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic Buddhi, how a sattvic person functions, rajasic and tamasic, and what is sattvic dhriti, how to hold on to this knowledge despite obstacles. Next week, we will talk about rajasic and tamasic dhriti and other sukham. What is sattvic and rajasic and tamasic joy? What gives joy to a sattvic, rajasic and tamasic person? So that will do next week. Thank you very much. We have a time. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free to. I'll put it on gallery view so everybody can see. We can see everyone. Yeah, there. Everybody's here. So any questions, any comments, anybody has either on Zoom or here in person? mic is also on. Yeah, so Satish bhai.
So rajasic person, rajasic buddhi we're talking about. So I know what's right, but the desire or the vasana is so overwhelming that I'm ignoring my inner voice,
right,
which is the consciousness itself.
Yes.
So that's why sometimes people say, why did you do that? And then they'll say, oh, he doesn't have conscience.
Conscience.
So conscience is there.
Right.
It's just that he's ignoring that.
Absolutely.
So every person who is doing it, they know exactly what the. If I am cheating on taxes, I know that this is wrong.
Right.
But I still, my overwhelming vasana is going.
Is greed, yeah, in that case. Right. Yeah, so Rajasik is, he knows that the voice of conscience is still there, but he's ignoring it and doing the wrong thing. That's absolutely right. Well, a Tamasic person doesn't even, he has totally killed his voice of conscience. Okay. Doesn't, he's not even there. So yeah, thank you. That's right. Good comment.
Is Tamasic person forgiven because he doesn't know, or he should have known?
Yeah, he should have known, right. or he has heard, but he has totally thinks opposite. It's not that he has not heard, but he thinks the opposite is right. So a person who is, you know, going and, you know, carrying a bomb and, you know, in a nightclub and killing 20, 30, he knows it is wrong, but he thinks it is right. Why? Because his thinking is perverted. So he thinks the wrong thing to be right.
Right.
So his crime is even worse. It's not that he doesn't know out of ignorance. It is, he does not choose to, he thinks exactly opposite of what it should be done. At least Rajasic person says, you know, I should have done this.
Yeah.
But Tamasic has no doubt.
Right.
He has no doubt that the wrong thing is right. Anybody else? Yeah, Lata, go ahead, unmute.
Would artificial intelligence eventually change the
mind? I don't know, we can't hear you. I don't know. I don't know. Can you check the volume? We can't hear her.
I can hear her.
Should
just fine.
This be off?
I can hear.
Okay. Yeah.
I hear her.
I think that was off. The mic was off. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Will artificial intelligence will change our way of thinking or mind?
Again, artificial intelligence, it depends on how it has been programmed, number one. And number two, people are afraid that the artificial intelligence can also be misused. So it can, yeah. Yes.
No, I was going to make a comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you were just talking about dharma and dhriti and how we talk about living it in an interpersonal way too, the making sure you're doing it in every part of life, when it comes to artificial intelligence and like how we're producing it, like for example, the most recent form of ChatGPT 4.0 that came out, it came off of the back of they needed people to like, the problem with the first one was that it was spewing a lot of racist, horrible remarks, and they need actual people to sort through it and say you're not allowed to say these things manually. So they hired people in Kenya for under $2 an hour to do this, and they contracted people out. And these people have so many issues having to read all these horrible things it was putting out. So we're producing these things, but when we're talking about dhriti and how like the people that get harmed while like producing things that in the greater good, it'll help people, but people are still harmed in producing like these kinds of things sometimes.
Yeah, thank you. So she said very beautifully that this ChatGPT, when it first came out, I don't know if people on Zoom could hear it, but it was having a lot of negative. So people were required to listen to these and hopefully correct that program. But then again, this thing can be misused, like for college admissions. Previously, you had to write. Now this, it will produce a beautiful essay. You tell it whatever topic, And so you don't know whether it's written by a human or a computer, because now they have become so smart that, so it's intelligence, but we don't know where it will take us. But hopefully it will take us in the right direction. That's a very good question, Lata. Thank you. And thank you for contributing. Kerry, you have any other question or comment?
No, I was enjoying the grammar, but we won't go into that.
Sanskrit, okay.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
So people go in a war and they follow the order and they throw a bomb or something, though their mind says that this is wrong, this will kill so many people, but they have to follow order. So how do you judge the person on that?
And that's very difficult, because once you are in the army, then yeah, you have to follow orders. But I think once you applies to Arjuna too, but Arjuna, he was using his own thinking about what is right and what is wrong, and then not fighting. But what she's saying is somebody is in the army. Again, I think if there are wrong orders which are killing, would be say somebody is attacking your country and you are defending your country, that is good. But if you are going and just killing people indiscriminately, that is wrong, and the person should avoid it. Or truly, if he's really that, he should quit, you know, that I cannot do it. But yeah, he may face consequences, post-martial, you know, court martial, lose his job. But ideally, if he's truly following the ideas and the principles, he shouldn't do that.
Because this kind of thing, not in a war, but in our life also comes when your mind tells you not to do, but because of some kind of pressure, you do certain things, you know, like workplace or something, which you completely know this is not right.
Right.
Or somebody following not right, you know, and but yet you do it. So that makes mind very uncomfortable, or, you know, person uncomfortable, you know.
That's
so right. It's very hard to follow then unless you change the job. So that's kind of a thing comes.
Right. You have to change the job, or if you have to do things illegal, because that way you have to suffer the consequences. You're personally and the company, and even, you know, you could be caught. So yeah, one should as much as
It makes you very unhappy or not comfortable all the time.
Right.
It's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That's very true. Very true. Umaji, you have a comment?
I was just saying the difference between one person killing somebody and when you are in the army or whatever kind of forces you may be, and you are killing, is that one is sanctified by the society.
Yes.
And the other is not. Murder right. is murder.
Right, no, murder so, is murder, that is true. But a person on the street who shoots another person will get jail. But in the army, if you're defending your country and if you kill 20 people, you will get a medal. You know, you will
That's true. Yes. That's
so,
true.
Yeah.
So and in our recent politics,
yes.
When people, what should I say, paraded against Biden's election, they were doing the wrong thing.
Right.
And it depending on what side you are, and now they are being prosecuted.
Yes.
And I'm trying to remember the name of Trump's vice president. He decided, no, this is not right. And he didn't go with them.
Yes.
So there are examples in our recent history.
Right.
As well as in the past.
Right. Yeah.
So that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're doing the right thing. Yeah, just last comment.
Also, for talking about like war, like even with Ukraine war and like a lot of the wars happening in general in Yemen and other areas, like, but people do ask and like organize, and activists, even people from the military, the US military and other countries' militaries, are anti-war activists and like call for like what I don't know who was talking, and the fact that it is murder is murder, and the fact that it is
right.
sanctified in the military is a bad concept. However, like with Arjun and the Barnabas, like there was a moral guideline to like, we need to do this. But in the current context of like
yes.
murder is murder and like
right. No, but say like Russia is attacking Ukraine without any provocation, Ukrainians yeah. have to defend themselves.
Oh, 100%.
So then they that killing is justified. See, but, because they are defending their country.
100%. But with the US funding billions and billions and billions of dollars, while our own military kills other people in other countries as well, and while we kill people here
right.
who like don't have homes or food or anything, where are we spending our funds? And are we living Dhriti in the right. active sense?
Yeah, thank you. Now, that's a long topic for discussion. So maybe some other day. But thank you everybody for your comments. I will see you next week. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah. Sarve Santu Niramayah. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Thank you everyone for joining and for participating and your comments. See you next week. Hari Om.